Good morning. Welcome to Shepherd Drive. We're so glad that you're able to be with us this morning for virtual church. We so miss being together and we look forward to the time when we can be back here all together. But until then, we hope you'll feel really welcome with us.
And can we encourage you to access the service using the service playlist on the website? If you go to the homepage, you'll see a box there with a virtual service. If you click on that, it will do all the hard work for you. And do take a bit of time to look at our church website. As you do that, you'll see two things. Firstly, that our aim as a church is to share the word of God and the love of God and to introduce people to Jesus. And secondly, that we're a group of people from all different backgrounds and countries and situations, but united by what we believe to be most important, and that is knowing Jesus personally and living for him.
Everybody is welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Take care.
Welcome to our virtual service here this morning. It's really good to welcome you. Especially to a certain Mr. and Mrs. Smith, also known to a number of us as Tom and Saffron, who got married yesterday. And we send our prayers and our best wishes as a fellowship to you, as you may know God's blessing as you start your married life together. I don't believe I need any introduction, but for those of you that might be listening on the web, today I am Matthew. I shall be leading the first part of our service, and then one of our elders, ministers, Pete, will be bringing God's word to us as he concludes our series that we've been looking at, which we entitled Introducing Jesus. I trust that you've had a pleasant week, but you know there have been a number of changes that have been taking place. I don't know if you can kind of keep up from what's happening from not only one week, but almost one day to the next. But as we kind of break that down and try and get that into our minds, we're also reminded that, helpfully reminded, that God never changes. And we read these words in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then if you were to flick a couple of pages over in your Bible into James chapter 1, verse 16, we also read these words. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes from us, from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give us birth, to give us his true word, and we are all his creation. We have become his prized possession. And they're wonderful words for us to remember that God doesn't change, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that we can put our trust and our faith in him, knowing that his promises are true, that he gave all those years ago. And they also mean the same for us today. So with that in mind, we're going to pray as we just commit our time of worship to God here and now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can call upon you as the faithful God, the God that is unchanging, a God that we can come before and knowing that we can be close to you because of these promises that you have made. Lord, we thank you that for those that are your people, you are with us every moment of our lives. Lord, again, we thank you for those many promises that you have made and that they are true and that your goodness never fails. Lord, we thank you that your word reminds us of this time and time again. And we thank you that we can have that confidence and that assurance when we read verses like this. And Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, in this moment, we want to bring our praise to you. Lord, may our worship adore you with every fiber of our being. May we cry out, Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And Lord, today, as we come and worship you, Lord, we do come confessing our sins and our failings, but also we acknowledge that you are with us. And Lord, we pray that wherever we are, whether we are sitting in the comfort of our own homes, or whether we are in a church praising your name throughout this day, both near and far, we would ask that you would truly see the glory given to you, that we would truly honour you as our Lord and Saviour. Lord, we thank you that your word tells us that you consider us as precious to you. And we would ask that we would truly know this within our hearts, how special you consider us. And we ask that in knowing this, we too would acknowledge you. Lord, may we love you and adore you. Lord, may we see you as precious in our lives. And may our lives not only show that in our worship time today, but throughout the rest of this week and from then on. So Lord, we ask that we would truly know your blessing as we meet in this way. And we ask this in and through your name as our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Well, at this time, I would normally be asking the young people to come to the front as I share a few words with them. And it seems really strange that I can't do that. And I have to almost pretend that you're sitting there in front of me. But certainly it's not going to stop me from sharing a few thoughts and talking to you. You know, a few weeks ago, I was speaking to the grown-ups about one of my favourite superheroes that I had. And actually, when I was thinking about that, I realised I know an awful lot about him. And I shared with them that I love watching the Superman films. I don't know what maybe your favourite superhero might be, but I know an awful lot about Superman. One of the things is he has no limits to his strength. He could pick up anything, and it was never too heavy. Whatever we couldn't do, he could do. His strength had no limits whatsoever. Well, I say that, it did in certain places, because actually he came from another planet, and that planet was Krypton, and there he had no strength. I don't know if you know that, but he had no strength. His strength, whilst he's here on Earth, comes from the sun. And on Krypton, the sun that they have is a red sun, and he doesn't get any strength from a red sun, but he gets his strength from our yellow sun. The other thing that you might know about Superman is he has an X-ray vision. That means he can see through things. Apart from one thing, which is lead. He can't see through lead, but everything else he can see through. And if you were ever going to give him a birthday present or a Christmas present, the best thing you could do is wrap it up in a lead box. Because if you didn't, he would know what you had given him before he even opened it up. Now, Superman, he does have an arch enemy, and his name was Lex Luthor. And they went to battle on a number of occasions. But Superman didn't always go by the name of Superman. He tried to keep his identity under wraps an awful lot of the time. I don't think he did it very well, because all he did was just had a pair of glasses that he put on and off, and that was more or less it. But he was a reporter for a newspaper called The Daily Planet, and he went by the name of Clark Kent. What else can I tell you about Superman? Oh, Superman, he was able to pick up Thor's hammer. Thor is another superhero, and only Thor could pick up his hammer. Now, Superman could pick it up, not because he was Superman and he had super strength, but because of something very special, and it was because he was worthy, and anybody who was worthy could pick up Thor's hammer, and Superman was able to do that. And another thing that you might not have known, Superman actually had a dog. Yeah, he had a dog. I don't know how well it was behaved, but he certainly had a dog as well. So there's lots of things that I could tell you about Superman, and it would be great for me to be able to hang out with Superman and make him kind of like one of my best buddies and a real friend. But actually that's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen because I don't know him personally. Now, the other week, Justine was also talking about superheroes. And just as she was starting, can you remember somebody walked part behind her? Yeah, can you remember who that was? Well, first of all, that's right, it was Tilly, wasn't it? She went first, and then there was somebody dressed up as Superman and made that pose of going walking across like that. Can you remember who that was? That's right, it was Billy, wasn't it? And I know that Billy loves Superman too. But I also want to tell you that I know an awful lot about Billy as well. Billy's birthday is in May. Billy's actually not his real name. Sometimes he's known as Colin. Billy loves going on a bike ride with Tilly. Billy's really good at doing press-ups at the moment. Billy's also recently lived in, as well as Ipswich, he's also lived in Cyprus and also spent a couple of years in Germany as well. What else can I tell you about Billy? Oh, yes. If you ever watch a film with Billy, I can almost guarantee that Billy will fall asleep. Yes. And if you didn't know anything about Billy and you invite him round, his favourite flavoured ice cream is mint choc chip. So there's lots of things that I know about Billy. But unlike Superman, who I also know an awful lot about, Billy's actually my friend. And that's because I know him personally. And for somebody to be your friend, you have to get to know them, don't you? You have to spend time with them. Maybe you're able to help them out. It could be that they offer to help you out with certain things that you're struggling with. Maybe some work at school, when you're able to go to school, that is, of course. But we have friends, don't we, that help us. And I think one of the great things about good friends is so often they make us better people. And we can make them better people as well by spending time with them and sharing with them. And I wonder if you've got a good friend like that, that you're able to talk to and spend time with. And you get to know them in a better way. You get to know them personally. You know, Billy may not be Superman, but actually to me, he's better than Superman because he's my friend. And we like sharing in so many things together. And you know what? For the grown-ups, over the last few weeks, they've been hearing all about Jesus and some of the wonderful things that Jesus was able to do. Some interesting facts I'm sure that they have learnt about Jesus. But actually, we hope most of all that people will get to know Jesus personally. So that means that they know him not just because of the amazing things that he has done, but because they want to spend time with him. And they can spend time with him by reading the Bible and listening what the Bible has to say to them, or listening to services like we have each week. But they can also talk to Jesus when they pray and know that Jesus will be listening to them as well. And Jesus is somebody that would love to discover all about us, all the good things about us, but also the bad things about us, and how we can pray to him and ask him to forgive us for those things as well. Do you know, Jesus didn't come to this earth just so that grown-ups could get to know him. He also came for us as well, so that we could get to know him. And we get to know people and we make friendships in our hearts, don't we? That is where our love comes for people. And we can get to know Jesus personally when we give our hearts to him, when we start to love him for all the wonderful things that he has done for us, but also because we want to discover what he's really about. You know, for me, I said that it would be great having Superman as a friend. But Superman is just a superhero. He's not real. But you know what? I've got Billy as my friend, and we all know that Billy is real, don't we? That's right. But the great thing that I have with Billy is that both he and I share the love of Jesus in our hearts too. And the wonderful thing that we can do sometimes is we can just sit down and we can chat of knowing Jesus in our hearts. And that's great for us. And that's why we have such a good friendship. Do you know, I hope that sometime soon I will be able to see you. And when I do, maybe you can come up to me and you can tell me of some of the wonderful things about people that you know and love. Maybe some of the things that you know about your favorite superhero. But you know what would be really great would be if you were able to share with me how you have asked Jesus into your heart, how you have made Jesus your friend, and how you have got to know him, not just because of the things that he has done, what the Bible tells us, but because you have got to know him personally, and you want to spend much time with him, knowing more about him and loving him as he loves you. And that would be great for us to be able to share in that together. And I trust most of all that you will understand that Jesus will be the best friend that you can ever have, somebody that you can rely on and talk to and will always be there for you. Well, thank you for listening to me and enabling me to share those thoughts of my superhero, but also how much Jesus means to me as well. Well, at this point, we're going to just go run through some notices that we have for this coming week. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we will be holding a prayer meeting. That will be done via Zoom, and those links should have been sent out by now. Digging Deeper will be on Tuesday evening, and you're welcome to join us for Tuesday or Wednesday evening. For those that meet on a Tuesday, the two groups will be joining again together this week. And if you're meeting on Wednesday, then that will carry on in the normal way. And again, as I said, links to Zoom will be sent out in the next day or so for that. Pete and his family are on holiday from tomorrow onwards. So if you've got any pressing needs regarding church, then speak to me on Monday and Tuesday. And then after that, Simon is due back from his holiday on Wednesday, and I'm sure he'd love to hear from you as well. Of course, that doesn't mean that you can't speak to me from Wednesday onwards. By all means, feel free to do that, but certainly Simon will be back Wednesday onwards. He will be bringing God's words to us next Wednesday. Next Sunday. And we will be starting or re-dipping back into the series that we often have over the last couple of summers when we look at summer wisdom. And as I said, we'll be recommencing that series once again. We're going to pray again as we just continue this part of our worship time together. So let us just bow our heads and just come before God in prayer now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many promises that you have made to us. Lord, we thank you for what we have read earlier, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we acknowledge that you are an unchanging God. And although we change from day to day, we can have that confidence in the many promises that you have made to us. And we also would acknowledge that for some, maybe this week, we have seen many blessings and we have much to praise your name and rejoice. But for others, maybe this week has been difficult. Lord, we may feel that things have pressed against us, that we need your help and your strength. And Lord, we thank you that as we come before you, we can pray knowing that you are a God that hears our prayers. Lord, we pray that we would rest upon you, that you would help us direct our hearts and our minds towards you, that you would fill us with your Spirit. Bring us that refreshing, that renewal, that peace, and yes, even that joy in our hearts. Lord, we ask that you would remind us through your words that you are truly faithful, that you are there for us. Lord, we ask that we would be renewed by your strength, and that your promises may be evident in our lives, and that we would praise you in seeing this. Lord, forgive us for those times when we have tried to sort things out by ourselves, by our own strength. Lord, forgive us for those times when we have felt that we can do it by ourselves and we have pushed you to one side, perhaps allowing our pride or our selfishness almost to overpower us. Lord, we would ask that you would forgive us for not following your ways, for distancing ourselves from your presence. But Lord, we do want to thank you. We thank you because we know that you are a God that will never leave us. You are a God that will forgive us. You are a God that truly does love us and has our best interests at heart. We thank you that you do hear our prayers and you do know our hearts. We thank you for your daily powerful presence in our lives, that we can be truly assured that you are with us, that you are watching over us, and that you have those ears to hear us when we open up our lives in prayer to you. Lord, we thank you that you surround us with your favor. And Lord, that may we know that we are safe in your care, for all of us that can call you as our Heavenly Father, and knowing that we are your children. Lord, we praise you and we give you the honor because you are a righteous and true God. And Lord, we come before you and we praise you and we worship you because you are holy and you are just. And we declare your love that you have lavished upon us, that stands firm forever and ever. We thank you for your loving kindness that truly does endure forever. And may this be our prayer, not only today, but in the coming days. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to be more like you day by day. And Lord, we thank you most of all for sending your Son, your one and only Son, here to this earth to die in our place, to become our Lord and our Saviour, so that we know that our sins can be wiped clean. Lord, we thank you that you did this for us, even though we are seen as filthy rags. And Lord, we pray that for each and every one of us, both young and old, that we would not just know some of the great things that you have done, some of the stories that you told and the miracles that you performed, but we ask that we would know you as our personal friend, as our Lord and our Savior. Oh Lord, we come before you knowing that your arms are held out open wide for all those that come with hearts full of needing that prayer of forgiveness as they pray to you that you would forgive them. And we know that your promises are true, that you will do this and you will welcome us into your kingdom. And we will be seen as a brother and sister, as a friend. So, Lord, we pray that we may know this, and not only in our head, but we would know it in our hearts also. And we ask this in and through our precious blood as our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm not sure if you sing along to the songs and hymns that Debbie chooses for us week by week. But if that's not the case, then I'm sure that you're not going to be able to help yourself as we were reminded of our first song of how great our God is as we sing the splendor of the King. And then that's going to be followed by When I Fear, My Faith Will Fail. It's a very much a helpful song for us to be reminded of that in those difficult times we've just prayed about, that some of us may have experienced over this past week, that we can have the confidence that God is there with us, that He will hold us fast. So we're going to sing these songs, and then after that we're going to have God's word read to us, and then Pete is going to share with us God's message this morning.
Here's the reading, John 20, verses 19 to 31. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Jesus appears to Thomas. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas explained. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. The purpose of the book. The disciples saw Jesus do many miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe. That Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. May God bless this reading.
Well, thank you, Mark, for that. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've been faced with news that is so important and so good that you just weren't prepared to accept it. When Chelsea Newble was at a park in Miami with her boyfriend, she turned round to see him on one knee holding out a ring in a box. In response to this discovery, she just rolls her eyes and says, you're so funny, and shoves him on the shoulder. But he stayed down on one knee. He kept on insisting he was being absolutely serious, but she was having none of it. She said, look, I don't like this joke, she tells him. In fact, it was only after the repeated insistence of her family who was standing round that he was being serious that she eventually realized what was going on and finally burst into tears of joy. Thomas seems to be in a similar kind of situation in our passage this morning. He's faced with news that he is simply not prepared to accept. And not because it's too bad to face, like someone in denial over a serious diagnosis they've received, but actually because it just seems to be too good to be true. And now this is the last of our encounters with Jesus from John's Gospel. And it takes place a week after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And I've kind of split it up into three headings. And the first is this, in verses 24 and 25, it's simply Thomas's doubts. The first part of our reading, verses 19 to 23, and quite possibly 24 and 25 as well, took place on the first Easter Sunday, the day of the resurrection itself. The disciples were together, they were hiding behind locked doors after Jesus' crucifixion for fear that they may suffer the same fate themselves. When Jesus himself appears in the room, and not as some kind of holographic video message you might get in a film like Star Wars, but as an undeniably physical, real person. And we can only imagine the depths of their joy and their excitement as they meet the risen Jesus. But Thomas wasn't there. So it's no surprise that as soon as he does turn up, that the rest of the disciples just can't keep quiet. They blurt out the astounding news that we have seen the Lord. But Thomas is just not prepared to accept their news. He absolutely refuses to believe. This is what he says in verse 25. I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. Unless that happens, he says, I am having none of it. But Thomas, why be like that? I mean, it's hardly like the other disciples are going to pull a prank on him in these circumstances, is it? And that was Chelsea Newbold's problem. Her boyfriend was a notorious prankster. And besides, he is surrounded by a crowd of people, all who claim, without doubt, to have seen the risen Jesus with their own eyes, to have spoken with him. And what's more, you take a step back. And he knew, and he had seen, he'd even participated in many of the amazing miracles that Jesus had done. He had been in the boats when Jesus had stilled the storm and when he'd walked on water. He was part of that band sent out to preach the good news and given the ability to do miracles of healing and casting out evil spirits. He had been there for the feeding of the 5,000. He had seen so many other miracles. So we have to ask, well, Thomas, is it really beyond the realms of possibility that Jesus has risen from the dead? You know, maybe for Thomas, it just felt too risky to get his hopes up. And he had, after all, staked everything on Jesus. He left everything to follow him, but where did it all end? It ended, as far as he was concerned, in failure, as the one that he had trusted for everything was executed by the Romans. And when you've been hurt that badly, it can be hard to hope again. And some of you will know that from painful experience. And the risk, I think, of experiencing that kind of disappointment, that kind of being let down, that kind of being hurt again, just doesn't feel worth it. Maybe that was his experience. Maybe it was different. Maybe he was just disgruntled that Jesus had missed him out of the big reunion, and so he dug his heels in. We can be stubborn like that sometimes, can't we? Something like one of those options seems to have been Thomas's experience here. You know, there's all kinds of ways in which our responses can resemble Thomas's here. Maybe you are very like Thomas in that you feel that it would be great to be a follower of Jesus, but it just feels too risky. You're not sure if your feelings are strong enough to believe, or it feels like you're taking a big step that you're not sure you're prepared to make because you realize it calls for the commitment of your whole life, which is a big thing to stake. Maybe you think God really ought to give you some kind of amazing experience to convince you, like someone else you know or have heard about. And maybe you're just not sure you can believe what the Bible says, even though perhaps you're not entirely sure why not. And for all those kinds of reasons, it can feel just too big a thing too risky to believe yourself to become a follower of Jesus. If that's you, well, let me help you with the last one first. Not being sure, can I trust what the Bible says? Because that's actually the easiest to deal with. If you're not sure you believe, well, keep on asking questions to discover more of the truth. If like Thomas, your questions are about the resurrection of Jesus, well, we'll put a link in the video description to a talk online. And it's a talk that discusses the evidence for Jesus' resurrection and the alternatives. It was filmed at an event for students in Durham a few years ago. The audio quality isn't amazing, but it's fine. The talk itself is about 20 minutes long, and if you want more after that, there's about 30 minutes of Q&A afterwards. And in fact, the site where you'll find that talk on the internet, bethinking.org, is a great place to find all kinds of resources that are committed to thinking seriously about the Christian faith and the challenges and the questions that many people bring to it. And one of the great things about that site, actually, is it puts all its talks in levels as a little sort of speedometer dial on each article, showing whether it's sort of beginner, intermediate, and advanced, so you can ask your questions at the level at which you're trying to think them through. And of course, you know, do come and talk to us about your questions as well. We'd love to help you. But if you find yourself responding perhaps in one of those other ways we talked about, well, I hope that as we unpack this passage a little bit more, that you'll find it speaking to you, encouraging you to press on. But equally, you know, this isn't just a passage that's relevant to people who have never become followers of Jesus. And after all, don't forget that Thomas is one of the 12 disciples, one of Jesus' closest friends. See, Christians can experience this kind of thing too. This sense that perhaps it just feels too risky to believe in something that the Bible says is true. If you're going through a terribly tough time, you may find yourself telling yourself or others that you just can't believe that a loving God would allow this sort of thing to happen to you, even though that you know what the Bible says about God's control of all things and the way he uses all things, including our suffering, for good. The Bible's full of that message. You can't bring yourself to believe it. Or maybe you've had a bad experience of church in the past, and so you've kind of backed out of church life and you keep yourself to yourself, perhaps just going along on Sundays, but no more than that, for fear of getting hurt again. Yet you know what the Bible teaches about the church as a body, with all the different parts being dependent on one another. That is God's design, God's good design, but it feels too risky to live as though it's true. You know, we can find ourselves in places like these, either out of fear, sometimes because we're secretly angry with God for letting this stuff happen to us. Just like maybe Thomas was being stubborn, I don't know. But how have we come to a place like that? What does this passage have to say to you if you ever find yourself in a place like that? Well, secondly, then, in verses 26 to 28, notice how Jesus responds to Thomas's doubts. And we see Jesus's kindness. Thomas's doubts are met with Jesus's kindness. It would have been entirely reasonable for Jesus just to appear and to pull Thomas up over being so foolish. Thomas, what are you playing at? Get a grip, man. The evidence is undeniable. Except you see, that isn't Jesus' response. There's such a sense of gentleness in these verses, isn't there, as he turns up once again and meets with Thomas. Yes, he is undoubtedly correcting Thomas. There isn't a sense of exasperation here, but of gently coaxing someone into the truth. And there was no need for Jesus to submit to Thomas's demands. I want to see his wounds and put my hands in there. Jesus didn't have to do that, as though Thomas held the power here. Jesus didn't need Thomas on his team, didn't need to get him on side. Thomas is the only one who stands to lose out here. And yet Jesus comes. And he holds out his hands just as Thomas had demanded. Well, here you go, Thomas. Put your finger in the wounds, if you like. Put your hand into the spear gash in my side. That's what you wanted, wasn't it? Only, Thomas, don't be faithless any longer. Believe. So yes, you know, Thomas needs to change, but there is such a kindness in Jesus' approach to him, isn't it, that draws out Thomas's faith. He can't hold himself back any longer. There's no indication that he ever did do what he demanded he had to do, and put his hand to the wounds. He simply cries out, verse 28, "My Lord and my God." His heart is overwhelmed to see Jesus, and a Jesus who comes to him with such kindness. So I hope you sense a real encouragement here to come to a Savior like this. Whatever reason it was that Thomas was refusing to believe, you know, Jesus wasn't interested in berating him and putting him in his place so that he learned his lesson and wouldn't ever be so stupid again. Instead, Jesus draws him in. You know, maybe you feel hurt over something that you've faced, and so you're struggling to trust Jesus with that or because of that. Or maybe your situation is different and there's no crisis for you. It's just you're kind of sitting on the sidelines of the Christian life, while others that you know are growing in love and joy, while you've neglected it. Now you're feeling a bit left out over there. And I wonder, what must that week of waiting have been like for Thomas? Between that Easter Sunday when everyone else met Jesus, when they were thrilled with the joy of knowing that Jesus was alive, and for a whole week they were living in that joy, and Thomas was left out of it on the sidelines. Or whatever it may be for you, take encouragement from the kindness that Jesus shows to Thomas here, because he is still the same today, and he would welcome you back with the same gentleness. So Jesus meets Thomas's doubts with his kindness. I just wanted to look at, lastly, what it is that Thomas was missing. We can call it Thomas's near miss and our invitation not to miss out. At the beginning and the end of our passage in verses 19 to 23 and then verses 30 and 31. And how grateful Thomas must have been that Jesus was so patient, so kind toward him in unbelief, because he stood to miss out on so much. Did you notice, as we read the passage earlier, the repetition of Jesus' greeting? In verse 19, Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." He repeats it in verse 21, "Peace be with you." And as he appears again the following week, verse 26, "Peace be with you." It's not something that's recorded as a greeting anywhere else in John's Gospel, anywhere else in any of the Gospels that I can think of. So we're very clearly supposed to notice it. Thomas was missing out on it during that week as he held on to his refusal to believe, the peace that knowing the risen Jesus brought the disciples. By that, I certainly don't mean that the other disciples were all sorted. They still had a long way to go. And the things that Jesus promises to them in verses 19 to 23, by and large, they function kind of like promises of what he is giving to them that they will eventually receive in full. We'll look at those things some more in Digging Deeper groups this week. Yeah, so we know, for example, they were still pretty scared, even though Jesus had given them this gift of peace, right up to the day of Pentecost, which is the day when the Holy Spirit was fully given to them, just as he's promised here in verse 22. So they were still had a long way to go, but they were at the same time still so far ahead of Thomas in the joy of what they had discovered. And then this chapter closes with our invitation to know those things, the call to us not to miss out on all the blessings that Jesus brings, as Thomas so nearly did. Because still, Jesus, in his kindness, extends the invitation to us. And that's precisely why John wrote his gospel, recording these things for us, so that, verse 31, you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. It's an amazing promise that we may have life. What does he mean by that? Well, life is a word that ought to perhaps have a sense of something vibrant and rich and amazing, conjuring up the kind of stunning scenes you might see in a David Attenborough documentary. Back in chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus fills out his vision for this life for us when he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or as our New Living Translation puts it, they may have a rich and satisfying life. And that is something you will never get by holding back with Thomas, whatever your reasons for that may be. You will never find it by holding back, refusing to believe, refusing his gift of life. Equally, you will never enjoy it as you should if, like Thomas, you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, and yet there's something else going on that you are prioritizing over trusting the Lord Jesus. Be that the fears or hurts we've already talked about, or whether you just don't want to give yourself wholly to it because you're afraid of missing out on something that this world has to offer, maybe. You will never find life, experience the fullness of that life that Jesus offers like that. You know, I had a packet of sweet peas ready to sow when lockdown hit. Then lockdown did come and I discovered I didn't actually have any compost left. But I did have a bag of dried manure, which looks kind of the same. So I thought I'd try them in that. And it turns out that that is completely the wrong thing to do, because never have I seen such pathetic excuses for sweet peas. Only one of them has actually made it in the end, and that was because when I finally felt I'd try a few of them outside, I transplanted them outside, this one finally was able to put down some decent roots into the soil that it needed, and it kind of began again. It's growing new shoots now and letting the old ones die off. But you know, in the same way, you too will never flourish unless you're rooting yourself deeply in this life-giving soil, the life-giving soil that we find in Jesus and his word. If you're trying to derive your hope, your joy, your security, your strength from anything else, it will not work, just as my sweet peas didn't grow as they should. Your spiritual life will look more like my sweet peas when actually Jesus is inviting you to an experience that's more like one of the gardens that you might see perhaps featured in Gardener's World. So when you find yourself struggling to believe, for whatever reason that is, don't just go with your gut instinct or whatever it is your heart most wants to do, because it will so often deceive you. It will take what looks like the easiest option instead of the best option. You know, I suspect that Chelsea Newball, as her boyfriend insisted on holding out the ring to her, found herself wanting to believe it, but not daring to, lest she sort of got swept up in the joy, the ecstasy of being engaged, only to be thrown back down to earth by the realization it was a prank. And that, I hope, was a lesson to her boyfriend. You know, as I watched the video of this online, you see her reach a point where the change comes, where she is prepared to drop her defenses and accept his offer of marriage and enter into the joy that's offered to her. And it is a beautiful moment to watch. And I pray that our experience of the Lord Jesus will be similar, and that if there are things holding you back, along with Thomas, that you will take time now to seek Jesus, to take hold of his invitation, to share his peace, to find a rich and satisfying joy in him. Let's take some time of quiet now to reflect on God's word to us and to respond individually. Our Father, we thank you for the incredible richness of the joy that is offered to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his incredible kindness and gentleness with us. And so often we are foolish, when we are stubborn, when we are afraid, still he comes to us and offers us his life in kindness. May each one of us discover that life for ourselves. May we experience its depths in ever greater measure, we pray, as we come and know Jesus more each day, we pray. That his joy may be ours, that his peace may be with us, that we may know a rich and satisfying life. We ask it for his name's sake. Amen. We're going to close with a great new hymn, Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. So it's a hymn we had the first time several weeks ago. And it grows out of the first question to the Heidelberg Catechism. A catechism is a series of questions and answers that are designed to teach the Christian faith. And the Heidelberg Catechism is a great classic in the history of the church. It begins with this monumental question and answer. That's question number one. What is your only hope in life and death? What a great place to begin. And the answer begins that I am not my own, but belong both body and soul in life and death to my Saviour, Jesus Christ. That is what a rich and satisfying life looks like. And this is a great song to remind us of all that's offered to us in the Lord Jesus and what madness it is when we hold back from giving ourselves to him without reserve.